The following stories of the Blue Bus Tours were recorded on November 28, 1977.
I think it was at the end of 1938 that we were hearing that Baba wants to go out on a tour, extensive tour, in the country, India. And preparations were being made to get a bus to accommodate his disciples. And one fine day we hear that a bus called the Blue Bus, because of the color that was given to the body, had arrived at Mehrabad on the hill. And all men Mandali had heard about it and seen also the vehicle going up the hill. It was there, parked there outside the gate. And we had heard that Baba is preparing, the women are preparing to go with him. But one night, while we were in the Mandali hall at Mehrabad, lower Mehrabad, we were in the old hall of the old building, seated with all of us there and Baba in our midst. It was about, say, 8:30 at the time. Those were the years when we didn't have electricity or anything sort. We used to use those pressure lamps, you know, yeah, with mantles that give powerful light. We were there and Baba was conversing with us. He was using his board at that time. All of a sudden, there comes at the door, somebody, a man comes there, out of breath, and immediately we recognized, as soon as he came into light, that he is the night watchman up the hill. So Baba gestured as to find out what's the matter. Why has he come down the hill? What happened? So after he composed himself, he said, "Kaka has fallen from the top of the bus." We didn't know, at least myself, I didn't know, why Kaka had to be right on the top of the bus and being what? So naturally, Baba's next question was, how did he fall down? He says, while he's tying the luggage there, all of a sudden I heard a thud. And when I went nearby, it was Kaka who has fallen. So Baba was very serious about it, and he looked around and looked at us and pinpointed me and questioned me and says, "Well, what are you doing here? Why is it that you are here? Why haven't you gone to help Kaka?" Nobody told me and I don't know anything about it. He said, "Don't you know that we are going on a tour the next day?" I said, "Yeah, we heard that there is going to be a tour, but I didn't know the exact date or anything sort." He says, "Go immediately and help Kaka there." So I went, and of course we worked. The luggage on the Blue Bus was heaped to any degree, literally, where we had to put a small ladder on the top of the on the roof of the bus to climb up to the luggage, the top of the luggage. It is a fact. So when I went up the hill, I don't find any sign of Kaka. Where is he? And I turned, I went round the bus, and sure enough, at the spot, he was lying prostrate on the ground. He was unconscious. So with whatever little water that was available there and all that, I tried to bring him back to consciousness. So he revived. And he was happy to have me, and we worked together eventually. It took us more than 2 hours after that to finish off the whole thing. And then we got down, and I told Kaka that, "Well, I'm going to be with the party." He says, "You're coming?" And Kaka was very happy with the prospect that a young man like I was at the time, that I'll be there to help him. Because I learned from Kaka that there was no man to be traveling that day. Because Elizabeth would be driving the bus. Kaka was the only man there. No hands to help him with such luggage and the bus there and going out in the country like that, miles after miles. There was no fixed date for return of the from the journey. It might take many months, and it did take 9 months for the tour. So we went back to Mehrabad, and then of course I had no scope to have my luggage because all the luggage was tied up, and I had nothing to do except to carry a small bag of cloth in which I shoved in some knickknacks, my shaving kit and a flashlight, and spare pair of clothes, that's all. And next morning we were ready. In short, we started in the morning. Padri got the bus down with all that luggage, you know. Yeah. Empty bus down. And I still remember that all of the women then boarded the bus there at the bottom of the hill near the railway lines. And from there on, Elizabeth took the steering wheel, and Elizabeth at the wheel, myself in the center, Kaka on the other end, in the front seat. That is the driver's seat. And the rest of the women and Baba at the back. As passengers. So we drove. We went on and on and on. And I still remember the luggage was, the height of the luggage that was packed was so great that at one of the big cities we tried to negotiate an overhead bridge over the railway track. And while doing that, all the telephone wires that were laid there on the poles, naturally, they got snapped. We broke them all. And we didn't know what to do now next. And the only practical thing was, let's go ahead, we don't mind, you see. We can't stop there now. So we left the place and we went away. Cities after cities were visited and all that. And then after some time, Elizabeth had called for a small car. It was V8 Ford model. And it hadn't arrived at the time, on the day that when we were to leave, but it came at a later stage, after a month or so. So then what happened was, when this small car did come, so Elizabeth would drive Baba, Mehra, Mani, Norina in the small car. And I had to take the steering wheel, and I drove the bus. And that's how we went on tours. The car ahead of us, and the bus following the car. I had to attend to cleaning, filling in, oiling, greasing of the bus, you know, after long drives and all that sort of thing. No garage work. Punctures also we had to repair. We had the kits with us. You see, what he used to do, what Baba used to do is, just imagine, I had to drive the bus during the day, whole day. And when we got down, I was the one who had to go there and try to see whether the, suppose if they want lunch or anywhere, I had to make arrangements for all that. And all the time I was so active and busy. And now in the night, after the bus is all cleared out, then I had to sweep the whole place and go to the nearest gas station, get the thing filled for the next day, and so forth, and then bring the bus back, wash the whole thing, you see, tidy it up and everything like that. And then in the night, sit for a night watch near Baba. So it was a terrible thing. And suppose if we arrived early, say, and Baba wanted to, say, the distance is from here to Pune now, so Baba wants to stop at Pune. So we would be in Pune. It doesn't take much time, 2.5 hours, 3 hours at the most, say. So then the day would be spent not just resting or anything. Baba would want to go out, you see, to see the mass. So I had to go with Kaka and Baba. So we'd go out on foot and all that sort of thing. Incognito, Baba would be traveling. And he'd go out and the whole day would be spent like that. And then again come back tired and then keep watch. So it went on for some months, it went on for quite a long time. But that told upon my health. Yes. But the worst trip of this blue bus, and I really salute the blue bus for having gone through that stretch of land, really, there's no doubt about it. It's a pet animal of ours. So it was the worst trip that I myself was frightened, you see. And that was for, going from Multan right across no man's land to Baluchistan. You know, the northwest frontier is a place, you see, which is considered, even the Britishers could not control that because of the highway robbers and the bandits there who were there. They are the Pathans, you see, from Baluchistan. They were not considered to be the Pathans of Baluchistan because Baluchistan is a nice place. Quetta is the capital of Baluchistan. Now, of course, it is Pakistan. Formerly it was, Baluchistan itself was a country, so to say. So, but in between, this is Baluchistan, this is India. In between, there is called the Northwest Frontier. And that frontier, in that frontier also, there was a strip called No Man's Land. Nobody could own it because there were people who were living in the hovels, so to say, in the mountain regions, had no houses, no settlement whatsoever. And they were all men. And they lived only by robbing people, stray people. They'd go to the borders and rob and then make their headquarters there in the No Man's Land. So, Britishers tried their best, you see. They even bombarded the place and all, but nothing could happen. So of all the things, I don't know what Baba had once the pleasure to chalk out an itinerary that this blue, he wanted to travel from India, go to Baluchistan via that route. Nobody takes that route, especially only the military with military escort they go. So he asked me to prepare, so I tried to collect more information and all that. So the last gas station would be at this place, the next gas station would be at this place. We had to go through the valleys, and the valleys were very high valleys, you see. And I still remember this blue bus. We started in the morning at dawn, reached a place called Fort Munro at about, say, 5:30 in the evening. Whole day traveling, mind you, and just I think it was 75 miles. Whole day, it was all in second gear or first gear.
No roads, just rocks.
No roads, yes, but no, but there were tracks, you may call it, on the mountain slopes and all that. You see, military had created these things for their jeeps. You see. But then they were all very dangerous.
Was it dry or what?
Very dry. Mountain, no grass or blade or nothing of the sort, you see. So when I went to fill in gas, you see, at the last station, the gas station there, he just peeps through the windows. He says, "What? All women? Where are you all going?" So I said, "Well, we are going to Quetta. Which route are you taking?" I said, "Through No Man's Land and this Fort Munro and all this." "What? How? Do you know what it is all? Where you all are going? Where you all are heading to?" He says, "Yes, we know it, but they are all, you see, related to the commander-in-chief and all." I just started giving out things because otherwise the rumors will spread, you see. Before we arrive, those bandits will come to know. So that we have to be very cautious. So he says, "Well, they are the family of the army lords, you see, here, Britishers, because we are Westerners were with us here." So he says, "There is the family, you see, and the escort is there." "Oh, escort is there, I'm sorry, but why women should go there? It's not good for women to go travel that way. Why can't you all go by boat?" He said, we don't want to go by ship or anything. We want to go, they want to see the places. But this is not a sightseeing place. This is meant for fight, wars. So we are not concerned with that. We have got our escorts and all." Just I gave that, you see. Baba had ordered me. Then we started. And that the first stretch was like that, as I told you. And when we went, then we were all going down to the Indus Basin, you see. Called the Karakoram Mountains and all that on the western front. So we were going through that. And Baba had ordered that I shouldn't stop the car for anybody to get down and piddle on my way while I'm driving. "It's an order from me," he said. So I said, "You please, have you told the women there?" He says, "You tell them." So I shouted from there. And Baba went in the small car ahead of us, that white car Elizabeth was driving, and I went there. And I had nobody else as man except Dr. Nilkant. Dr. Nilkant, he was no handyman. Kaka was a handyman for us, but Kaka was not there. And the bus, the passengers in the bus, you see, the bus is meant for 18 seats, you see, comfortable. But more than 30 people would be made to sit there. And so it was a very uncomfortable journey for the women, I should say that. Very uncomfortable, very, very uncomfortable. And you should just see, you see, they were so upset, you know, because of this, because they wanted to piddle and they couldn't. I don't know what they did, you see, whole day, because it was not possible for me to stop the car. But then what happened is, so many, you know, these people had improvised bridges over one cliff or the other, and you know how rickety these things are built, you know, and very dangerous, you see. Yeah. Danger to life. So we crossed over them, and they were meant only for jeeps, and this was a heavy vehicle, and at the same time so many men were there, and so much luggage was, so many women were there, and so much luggage was there. So we went across. But the worst point was while crossing the river. Indus River is considered to be a big river, you know, Indus?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's, it feeds, you see. Punjab. Panj means five. Ab means tributaries, waters, five waters. That Indus River has five tributaries. That's why it's known as Punjab, the ball of wheat, you see here in India. Where the water comes, you see, from the mountains, spreads out into five tributaries, and that's why it's known as Punjab, you see. Five tributaries. So, but that main river Indus is there, and it flows through those mountains, so we had to cross them in order to go there. Cross the borders, you see. Ah, by the way, it was arranged, two escorts were there. So they used to sit on the mudguard of the bus with the guns. Yeah, they were there. They were provided to us by the government. So Elizabeth got the... I told Baba that such a thing is there. I don't mind. After what is there, there's nothing to live for except for you. You want us to go, we'll go. But this is what they are saying. So immediately the wire was sent or something like that, and they provided two good escorts. Mm. But we had to feed them. We didn't have any ration, much ration, I think. But poor fellow, they grumbled a lot, you see. Mm-hmm. What is this and these people? They were told, you see, that they were the relatives of the British commanders and all that sort of thing. They kept quiet. They were Indians. So they were there on with the guns. Two on the, what do you call,
mudguards.
Two mudguards in the front and one in the rear. They were there. Rear outside. There was a nice board there, footboard, you see. There were two steps, you see, going. So he used to sit there and put his feet there. He was comfortable there.
None on Baba's car.
None in Baba's car, no. So, now the river has come. And there are all the signs put there, you see. But it had gone dark. So there were huge people, you know, Baluchis there with the lanterns. You know those lanterns that these guards have at the railway station, and they were there, red lamps were there. So they stopped us. So I stopped the bus. So he says, I put the light on and I saw that we were at the bank of the river. And vast stretch of water is there. And on that, no bridge. Mm-hmm. So it was just pontoon bridges, you know, these boats tied together and planks spread, you see. So we had to go. So that is how improvised bridge it was for the jeeps to pass by in emergency, only in emergency. So the man stopped us. He says, you can't go. See this? This is the rule and regulation of the army. No army people also can go. No army trucks can go from here. I said, what are you trying to tell me? Do you know who these people are? I just again gave out a lot of yarns, you see. So, but at least they should get down. I'm telling you that it's danger to their lives. I said, they can't get down. They have been ordered by their people not to get down. I'm just a driver, you know. I have to carry out, just as you have to carry out your orders. Our orders are such that no women should get down here. No, nobody. The escorts were there. The escorts also said, "Sir, this is very dangerous, what you are trying to do. How will this pontoon bridge hold this bus like this?" I said, "I don't know. I have been ordered. I can't do that." So eventually, with a lot of half an hour argument took place. By the time it was dark, it was dusk when we reached, and then it's now dark. And the man agreed that he will go in the front with the lamp, lantern, and I had to follow him. I said, "That is very dangerous," I said. He said, "Why should it be?" I said, "You don't realize your life, you see, because I'm not going to stop the bus halfway, because you know how the boats are. So if something happens, and then you are in the front, I'll be there in the front, but I'll be by the side, see, on the side." There was a little space for the bus there to go, but there was also a little space there where he'd walk. I said, "Like, walk that way, don't be right in the front of the bus." So eventually, with Baba's name, we got in. Women did not realize the implications, you see, because they didn't see anything. They were there, behind there. So I put the bus inside, and you won't believe, not a single plank remained, you see. We could hear every time. When they started hearing that, crack, 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 it would all just break, you see, behind. We barely cross the thing and the thing would break. When you cross the thing, it would break behind you. Yeah. Right. And I always tease them. You, all the years with Baba, never took Baba's name as diligently and with all your heart and soul as when we crossed the Indus. What had happened is they had crossed it and they could go fast, you see, because it was a very powerful engine, 8 cylinders. And ours is just 4-cylinder car, bus, in spite of all the weight and all that. And it would go very slow with all the mountain ranges and all that. So Baba would get so upset, waiting and all that. He says, "What happened? Why don't you come? Why don't you follow?" I said, "How can I follow? This is an elephant and you have got a plane in front of me. How can I follow? It's not possible." So that was the worst. And in that trip, 22 punctures. 22 punctures.
And all the planks cracked. Did the bridge fall apart?
I don't know what happened at the back. Nobody dared to go back or see anything. I didn't even stop, you see, as soon as we crossed the river. Just went ahead so that the man wouldn't catch hold of us, you see, of what has happened. The havoc that we have played. Nothing doing. What he must have done, he must have reported, you see, through wireless or something like that. Yeah.
Baba walked across before the car and the bus went, or did he stay in the car?
No, his car passed by. Car, it was meant for such traffic, you see. And it was nice, because her car was absolutely white. Elizabeth's. No colors, nothing at the side. It looked like some dignitary is there, some commander is there, something like that.
Yeah.
And Baba in his great coat would be seated in the front, you see, with a berry cap and all that. So it's the whole thing belonged to the British, but they couldn't get that piece of land under their control. Therefore, it was known as no man's land. You follow?
Never met any,
no, we didn't. There were firings we heard, but not for us. But they were not the regular robbers. They had their political feelings, you see, that they shouldn't, nobody should intrude here, nobody should take possession and all that. So they used to guard their places, you see. And at the same time, what about their livelihood? They will rob these people. Shoot somebody and get the whatever money is there or the possession and all that. Guns. Usually the guns they would want. We reached Quetta eventually after a long journey. And Gawir's father had come there at the border of Baluchistan. He was a great man there, Gawir's father. All the army and everybody knew him because he conducted a very posh restaurant there, you see. And all the military people would go there and all that sort of thing. He had a toy shop and many things were there, you see. So as soon as we crossed all this, and we crossed, there were two, three forts that we crossed, and then he was waiting for us to receive us. Mm-hmm. So when he came, naturally he came with two other Pathans, and then we dropped the escorts and they took us. They traveled with us in bus, front seat. Then it was easy going. But then what happened is, it all told, you know, body recoils later on, at a little late. So we reached Quetta, I remember. And then that night I had a good sleep. Baba at least allowed me to sleep that night. Mm. It was a long journey. Means I had kept watch on the other parts of the journey, but there in Quetta itself, he made me sleep. And next morning he says, we have to send a letter. So he was dictating a telegram. So he was dictating a telegram. And I was taking down, he was on the board, he was using the board at the time, and I was taking it down. And what happened, I don't know. I just swooned or something. Mm. I fell down. First time I experienced that. Yeah, through exhaustion.
Like a delayed effect.
Yeah. Mm. I don't know what happened. Then later on I found myself in a bed, and then, of course, again, what happened, Baba? So I said, I don't know. Just passed out like that.
It was so, because there is a limit to endurance. Mm. Then you pass off from this world to another world. It's not permanently, but temporarily. Mm. Mm. That's the story.